This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3, the fan, home of the Cowboys, home of the Rangers. John Daniels joining us here coming up in 20 minutes. We are 20 minutes from JD on your home of the Rangers. Let's get some audio here, some Cowboys audio. Stephen Jones joined the KNC Masterpiece. They had some good questions waiting for him. Cut 7, if Washington wants to trade for your first rounder and pick a QB, how much would they have to include in that trade? Here we go.
I think it's always in the back of your mind, you know, anytime it's in your division. At the same time, I think if it's, if we think it's a great deal for us, in spite of, even though it may be a quarterback that they think is a great player, and we may believe that or not, in some cases you won't even know. But I think you're naive to think that, it doesn't play into your mind a little bit when it's a divisional one of our divisional competitors that's moving up, and, you know, the trade better be really good.
So here's how I'd look at it. If they're coming after this guy, there's other teams around us. Now, if I'm on the clock at 10 and I don't take him, they're just going to call the next team. So if a division rival is willing to give me such great value for this player, it'll be like the fourth quarterback taken. He's probably going to bust anyway. You know, and that
is the odds.
Yeah.
I tell you.
What if the fourth quarterback's Fields?
It'd make me nervous.
Then I don't want them to have him. This is going to sound counterintuitive, but it was a, I think, thoughtful exercise. So my guy at Cowboy Stats, big analytics guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Great account.
He asked this question. At 10, he says, say Fields is available. Washington's not trading you enough. He said, pick him. Quarterback is so important that just having an extra one and keeping him from your opponent, would you just pick him?
Not to keep him, but
he's not even going to play for you, yeah, likely.
We talked about this on Saturday.
Take him.
Yeah, but no, nah. But would you take him thinking that you're going to have him for the 3 years and then you're going to have to make the decision on Dak?
Man, you'd have the best backup quarterback of
but,
all time.
But you got the guy pick in the pipeline and all. I mean, yeah, does it help you right now? No, it doesn't. But I just can't do it.
The NFL doesn't – it's a weird place where you cannot bring in competition to your starting quarterback.
No. Can't do it. It's a disaster.
Can't do it. Because you'll have some good practices, and then you'll have this little Justin Fields camp in the locker room.
But you have Dak for 3 years. I mean, that
is 3 years, though. That's most of the rookie contract of the other guy.
If you pick him in the first round, you get that extra year.
I'm just asking. Would you be willing to take a quarterback solely to block him from going to another team?
Oh, not to block? No, I wouldn't.
Because he's not playing for you.
No, but I would take him thinking that in 3 years' time, I'm going to have to spend another $50 million on my quarterback.
It shouldn't be a crazy idea. I mean, the Eagles took Jalen Hurts last year in the second round, right? Yeah. Quarterback was here. And this gives us a chance. And Wentz and Dak weren't in that different of a spot in their careers. It gives you a chance to find the player who can take your quarterback position to the next level. I wouldn't be satisfied with just a guy who kind of makes the Pro Bowls. I want more shots at a Patrick Mahomes type of player. And if the guy's sitting there at 10 and I have a bunch of scouts saying, this guy could be special, this guy has a good chance in 24 months, he's better than our guy, better than Dak? Are you kidding me? Better than, even if you're the biggest Dak fan, if your scouts are saying that, yeah, Jeff, I'd be more open-minded to it than the NFL is right now. I think NFL owners and front offices think, oh no, we're going to create a controversy. Our fan base is going to lose faith in the position and give up their season tickets. You know, that's the kind of like big picture thing that quarterback controversies do. They destabilize your locker room and your fan base a little bit with the faith that you have in your guy. If you just get up there on the podium and say, oh, our guy's a franchise quarterback, the most of your fan base is going to buy that, right? You bring in another guy, and now it creates all sorts of chaos. What else does it bring in? Competition. It might make you better long term. But this is where you start protecting business interests instead of making your product the absolute best.
Here's where I'm sitting on this right now. I have the only guys I have above Fields is Lawrence, Pitts, Sewell, and Chase. Those are the only guys I have above him.
You guys, I have to tell you, you guys were supposed to push back against this idea.
No.
And you want it.
And you didn't.
No. It wasn't a pushback, but I'm just thinking about if you really – you're picking 10th. Is that something that long term that you're taking the shot right now to add that guy? Because, you know, maybe like you say, what if Dak – if
you never know if an injury happens.
Yeah, or the contract
becomes – And just how important – quarterback is,
yeah.
If you can say, because to your point, Gavin, they might just call other teams. Well, you're not going to pick them. I'll call another team, and I'll call another team.
Yeah.
You say, let me take that out of the market from you.
Yeah.
You can't have it.
Maybe we'll talk later. Maybe you want to call after
maybe
we
I'll
pick
trade
this
to
guy.
Somebody. Yeah. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe my quarterback will get hurt, whatever. But
maybe your quarterback's not any good.
Well, sir. We're not doing that, sir.
No,
and Rams found that out.
They were pretty damn convinced. That's what I'm
you
saying.
Can't be 100%
all of a sudden,
sure.
you're not convinced of that. But you would hope that I think Dak will be fine. Don't get me wrong on that. But I'm just looking at my rankings, and there's only four players that I would take that I would, you know, that I'd look at and I'd say, well, he's my fifth best guy.
Okay, it is the G-Bag Nation here. Autoflex Leasing Fantex is open if you have a thought. I think y'all are just rambling for content now.
It's just because I've ventured out into the analytics waters, and when you realize just how much more valuable quarterback is than everything else.
See, people out there don't realize that.
Right.
People have never sat in that chair like I did. And realize when you don't have a quarterback and you go 5-11 every damn year, how hard it is for you.
Yeah.
Okay. You got Dak Prescott, but to sit there and say you're rambling on, I wish every person could sit in that chair and went through the crap that I went through for 3 damn years.
You want to hear rambling?
Yeah. You want to hear rambling? I want to hear you ramble when I'm MFing you for not having a quarterback on your team. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
I love that.
Yeah.
You can't. I
almost said an F-bomb on the air. I almost did.
You see that? You ticked off Broadus.
I was pretty close.
It's impossible to overstate how important quarterback is.
No question.
If you know that a division rival is about to get one that, let's say you are the Cowboys, and you can call this rambling if you want. I don't want to. I don't care. If, let's say you're the Cowboys and you're like, we know we're not taking a quarterback this year, but where did we have Fields? And you're like third overall on the board. And you're at 10 and you're like, and Washington just called and we told them no. So now they're calling at 11 and now they're calling at 12. It's impossible to overstate how important it would be to stop that player from getting to that team.
Yeah.
And yes, you'd have too many quarterbacks, and yes, in theory, he wouldn't play. But in a world of so many unknowns and injury and whatever, having too many quarterbacks is 50 times better than not having one.
Okay, so Stephen Jones was, you know, asked about the idea of trading with Washington. It's not just a topic that we made up out of thin air to ramble along with, although we appreciate that text out of the 772.
I did take it that way, so I'm responsible. I do not apologize.
Another text referring to Hurts is not good. That blew up massively in the Eagles' face.
What?
And I understand the results didn't work out. But, yeah, I refer to Hurts. Like, the Eagles took Hurts even though they had Wentz. It's looking at the draft and looking at your position and deciding, guys, we're pretty good here.
Yeah.
But what wins the Super Bowl is amazing players. The Cowboys had Romo. Peyton Manning was available. They're like, we don't need Peyton. We have Romo. They had Dak. Tom Brady became available. We don't need Tom. He's old. We have Dak, right? Aaron Rodgers might, we don't need him. We got Dak. Well, there's a lot of quarterbacks like Dak and Phillip Rivers and Matt Ryan that were awesome, right? And they were franchise quarterbacks. Were they winning Super Bowls? You know? So if I'm evaluating that draft and I'm in the camp that says, yes, Dak is a good quarterback And my scouts and people like Jeff are saying, Justin Fields is more accurate. He's more athletic. He's more of a winner. He has the chance to, you know, to push this quarterback position forward like Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson are. But I want to stay with Dak. I'm willing to sacrifice short term, not make Dak unhappy. Maybe Dak forces a trade, right? I can recoup assets on the other side. The smartest NFL teams aren't locking into things and saying like, okay, we're solid here. Now let's worry about the rest of the team. No, they're looking at everything like, do we have a chance to get cheaper and potentially better at this position, this position, this position, this position? And they're not discriminating. They're saying, oh, look at this. We're wrong about Jared Goff. Gone. We're wrong about Carson Wentz. Gone. Right? We need Jimmy Garoppolo. Oh, no, we don't. Gone. That's what the best teams in this conference are doing. They're not sitting there pretending like decisions they made years and years ago are still rock solid and beyond reproach.
Yeah. And I my thinking wouldn't necessarily be right along that vein, because my thinking would be that Dak is going to be my guy. And that likely what's going to happen is, hey, we picked a quarterback super high, and when other teams' quarterbacks aren't good, it's going to hold its value, and I kept him away from a division rival. But yeah, you never know how it's going to play out. Yeah. Maybe you will get into a practice setting. Hey. You'd be like, uh-oh, holy crap.
I like it just for your table image in negotiating, right? If you think you can just ignore me and, oh, they don't want to give us, fine, I'm going to take the player, right?
What's up
and then,
now?
Then we're going to have a conversation, and everybody in the NFL is going to know from this point going forward, don't jack with us on the phone. We're talking trade.
And it's very—
I'll take your guy.
Yes, it's very anti-established NFL thinking, obviously,
yeah,
to pick a quarterback with a newly signed franchise quarterback. But I don't know. I think those exercises are important because yeah, quarterback is it's not the end-all be-all, but it ain't that far off from it,
yeah,
when it comes to NFL life. And so would you be willing to say, whoops, I have too many quarterbacks, but guess what? My yeah, biggest threat in the division, you didn't get to get one.
Yeah. Yeah, and Washington's a team that's on the rise, so you would have to extra consider, like, what if this guy wins Rookie of the Year with that defense? We could have just kissed our butts goodbye for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
Forget about winning this
and
thing.
Instead, you're sitting there with a guy that could go number one in a lot of drafts, and then you get to next year's draft and Tom Brady is leaving Tampa Bay and they're like, we'll give you everything, please. And you're like, okay.
What happened to the fan text? You guys were having such a great time and we were having good conversation, and then you just turned mean today, right?
Well, I'm telling you, it's because that line of thinking, like, it wouldn't be that long ago that I would agree with him. I'd be like, what are you doing, a bit? What are you talking about taking a quarterback when you have a quarterback? You just signed your quarterback. But I think we're getting further and further along in the discourse and the knowledge of how much and how important certain positions are, that I would not really make that pick, but a team would not be crazy if they made that pick. They yeah, would not. Because all right, it's just, if you take a generic team and you say, all right, their quarterback is Ryan Fitzpatrick, well, then generic team is probably going 8-9. If you say generic team's quarterback is Deshaun Watson, well, generic team is probably going 11, 12 wins. That's the difference you're talking about. So if you're in the room and your little data nerd in the corner goes, guys, I know we don't need a quarterback, but you never know what's going to happen. He could end up being our quarterback. Probably not. But if they get him, then a year or two from now and for the next 15, their expected wins every year might go up by 4.
Yeah.
So we could block that. And he's not going to lose his value because quarterbacks don't. We can always flip it later. And we know if we don't, they're trying to come get him. What do you want to do? Like, it should be a real thing. But I think the reason the text is so bonkers over this is because 3 years ago, I think that would have been my reaction. It's like, what the hell are you talking about? You have a good quarterback. You don't draft a quarterback.
Yeah. But no, it's fair.
People are
yeah,
learning more and more about, you know, the expected points added, and they're trying to come up with a wins above replacement stat. Quarterback is so important.
I mean, it's not about disagreement on the text, because there's always disagreement. It's just an energy that really, really changes when you start talking Cowboys, you know? And it's so disappointing to me sometimes.
Do we have some real poopy heads?
I guess. You know, I stopped looking a few minutes ago.
Oh, no.
Cut 9. Would you say y'all have succeeded in the draft over the years? Here's Cut 9 with Stephen Jones.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've really, really have improved. I'll say this. I think you have to continue to look for ways to get better. And one of the things I'd tell you, whether it was a Bill Parcells, whether it was a Jason Garrett, whether it's a Mike McCarthy, you learn from these top coaches about the different types of personnel departments that they've been around, how they've gone about it. I think you continue to get better, and I'm a believer in that. You're either getting better or you're falling back. But under Will's leadership and guidance, I do believe that we've gotten, a lot of different moving parts of the draft right. And I fully expect us to have another successful draft. And certainly as an organization, we believe that you draft these players and you play them. We've got a way we go about it to where we like to get a consensus in terms of the buy-in. We not only want our scouts to love the players, but we want our coaches to want to coach them. We want the trainers to be happy with them. And then, of course, naturally, when you start to get all that, then Jerry and I feel a lot more comfortable about drafting that player. And I think that's why we've had success and why our guys have gone out there and played and, for the most part, played really well. So we feel, like I said, feel really good about our preparation for this up-and-coming draft. And I really feel like we're going to help our football team, for this coming year.
Yeah, they are.
They have done a lot of things right with this draft process, haven't they, Brian?
Yeah, I think the thing with the addition of Will McClay has really helped. And I love my brother, Tom Soskowski, and I appreciate Larry Lacewell for bringing me in and all that stuff like that. But that's a difficult job that those guys had sitting in that chair. Jeff Ireland, I worked with Jeff, but not when he was the director. But I just feel like, though, that you have to, and this is a hard deal because this is not your traditional general manager. This is not one of those guys that goes out and studies players. And, you have to really do everything for him. And I feel like that Will has done a nice job of that. And, it's tough when you have to say, okay, well, let's give the coaches this. And, hey, we have to sacrifice this because we believe this. But if we bring these players in, the coaches aren't going to want these players. They're not going to coach them. And, we'll have trouble there. So it's a difficult job. But I think that Will has done a nice job of putting things together and at least making everybody be on the same page over there.
And maybe I'm asking for too much. Maybe it's unrealistic, but I don't like compromising for a vision. I don't like them needing to build a consensus that everybody's happy. I want a GM that is so good and a front office that is so good that the coaches are excited about who I just took. They're like, oh yeah, well, I'm just a coach. That's the genius GM, right? So I'm excited to coach the players he gave me, right?
It'll be hard to get that when the owner listens to literally everyone. Yeah. Like the DC's like, oh, I told you I wanted that guy, and you didn't give me that guy. Crap! Yeah. I don't want this guy.
That's the issue. That's not going to change over there.
Yeah,
that part of it's not going to change.
Well, I guess I take the good with the bad. No, and acknowledge, they're doing a nice job.
And all my years of being in the league, I've lived what you're talking about. It's so much better when you have a general manager that could just say, this is what we're doing, or you have a coach that tells the other coach. You have a head coach that tells the other coach, it's like, hey, the scouts are right here. They're right. You sit down and shut up, okay? And I've been in situations like that.
Yeah.
But you
– clear leader.
Yeah,
the smartest
clear
guy.
Leader. And, yeah. And Jerry, the buck can stop with Jerry, but I'd like for Jerry to say, hey, that's our guy. Everybody else shut the you-know-what up.
Thanks for listening. Our Path to the Draft coverage is brought to you by Pluckers. Head out to one of the 7 DFW locations for the draft day party Thursday, April 29th. We're on Rangers baseball, and the GM, John Daniels, joins us next right here in the Nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Rangers baseball coming up tonight, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock first pitch, taking on the Angels. And it's time now to talk with John Daniels, president of baseball operations. It's brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And Cars for Kids, supporting Texans Can Academies, right off the car, not the kid. And a good afternoon, JD. How the heck are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Oh, we are doing great, man. Tough one over the weekend, but I was wondering from you guys, how much are you focused on wins and losses right now?
I think from like a front office standpoint, big picture, kind of know where we're at, where we are, and you're not, you're coming into the year, we weren't focused in the off season on making the moves that you would make if you were, expecting to win and contend. That being said, like, we don't want that to be part of the culture in the clubhouse. So there's absolutely a from a day-to-day standpoint with Woody, with the staff, with the players. I mean, the total focus is on winning downstairs. It's a fine line to walk. When our actions in the off season don't necessarily back that up. But I think the guys understand what we're doing and, you know, putting together a young foundation, and we've got to at the same time teach them to play the type of baseball, kind of clean baseball, that will ultimately lead to winning as they develop and our talent base gets bigger.
What's sort of the optimal way that you're looking for the franchise to react when you get swept?
You know, so it's interesting. I think we've been swept now twice this year. And both times, we've played, with the exception of yesterday. Yesterday was not a good game. Obviously, Kohei didn't have much of anything from a command standpoint yesterday. And then, DeGuss came in and also was a little erratic. And so we were down 8-1. Once the offense got going, it was 8-4 late innings, and we really didn't have a shot. Before that, in three games against San Diego, even the game we got no hit, 2-0, and then the two games here Friday, Saturday, we're in every game, And so, last year there were moments where it was ugly. We got really like knocked around the field. And this year I've been much more pleased that whether we've won or lost, the style of play, we're not walking guys. We're playing clean defense for the most part. We're having quality at bats. Even on days where we strike out a bunch, we're generally on base from walks. We have chances late in games to tie games up or take the lead. So I've been generally pleased with the quality of play, even when the ultimate outcome isn't there.
JD, you mentioned Kohei there, and I saw the scuttlebutt, I like that word, after the game, that the idea that perhaps he was tipping a couple of the pitches, including the splitter. Would you rather have an explanation for a poor outing be, he didn't really have his command and that happens? Or, we can identify this really quickly. Look, you were tipping that. We're going to fix that. We're going to move ahead.
Yeah, I think that there may be something to that. But at the same time, I've been talking to the staff today. It was really cold there yesterday. I personally hate that as an excuse because the other team's got to, plan it as well. And, you want to play in meaningful games and postseason. Right now we're in a good spot with the dome. But, you go up to face any of these Northeast teams or even the Northern California teams, it's going to be cold. You go into Chicago in the playoffs, it's going to be cold. So that's just something we've got to deal with. There has to be a level of adversity that we can get through, and the game conditions are one of them. So, might there have been some tipping? Possibly. Some teams are better at picking that up than others. I also think that it was a first for Kohei, and I don't know how many more cold games he'll have, but I'd like to see him make an adjustment there.
Okay, now this is one of the most confounding things I've seen in Ranger watching history, which for me is about 25 years of it. Joey Gallo's season to this point, one home run, but his on-base percentage is almost .450, leading the league in walks and strikeouts. How would you categorize his season so far?
Well, listen, I think it's been unusual for over a 22-game stretch. I was asked about this by the beat writers earlier, and I think if you were to tell me that he had a bunch of home runs but no walks, I would say that success is not sustainable. If you tell me that he is staying in the strike zone, has really reduced his chase rate, but the power hasn't been there yet, I think that's much more likely to lead to good outcomes in the future. Because Joey's hit for power since he was probably a little league, right? 10 years old, he was the best player on the field, and he hasn't lost that. So I think what you're seeing, and Joey's made a conscious effort not to chase, not to let pitchers get him out of the strike zone. We've seen it play out here at a pretty extreme level. But the other thing I think is that you've got Solak and Lowe and Adolis that have been productive behind them, and guys are going to have to come into the zone a little bit more, and I think that'll allow Joey to make an adjustment. I think you'll see his power numbers go up.
JD, here's my scouting background getting the best of me, because I watched the Rocker Kid pitch this weekend at on the SEC Network, mm-hmm. and when you evaluate pitchers like that, is there a certain body type that you have found over the years make better pitchers? He's just so impressively big on the mound. Is that one of those things where scouts would go, he's too big? Or is it, he's pretty much what we want that type of a pitcher to look like?
It's a great question, and it's something we talk about a lot, that there are kind of general ranges where most of the successful players come from. Obviously, as athletes get bigger, faster, stronger, you're seeing that kind of get stretched here a little bit. Now every team, whether it's Gallo or Judge or Stanton or every team's got somebody like that at this point, where, probably 30 years ago, 40 years, it was, one or two guys, Dave Winfield, you can count them on, in your hand. Same in the NBA, right? You just
sure.
You see just a different caliber athlete. But, pitching is interesting because we have the measurables used to be just what you're saying, right? Like, height, weight, velocity, things like that. And now, it's much more focused on the kind of pitch characteristics that somebody can generate, and then on their durability. I mean, I think that's probably a little bit more of the two factors. So the body shape and kind of how a guy moves will affect those two things. But I think we're looking at it more in that context of like, how, what can he do with the baseball, and based on how he looks physically and how he moves physically, like how long, do we project his durability to last?
It's John Daniels here with you on your home of the Rangers. I saw our friend Ruggie had a good weekend. Do you keep track of your former players, JD?
Oh, for sure, man. Sometimes to a negative degree for my mental health. But yeah, I just shot him a text. I was happy to see him hit a bomb there the other day in a big spot, and it looks like he's after initially maybe a little slower start, starting to play pretty well for him.
So Adolis Garcia has exploded onto the scene for you guys, and he is just so much fun to watch. Obviously power is fun to watch, but the emotion, the joy, it's all a lot of fun. Is it fair at all to draw a comparison to somebody like Nelson Cruz? Because at the age of 28, suddenly it's like, holy cow, has this guy just arrived, when for the first 27 years we maybe didn't see that coming?
I mean, it sounds a little nuts to suggest that at this point, right? For me to say that, given that, a month ago we ran him through waivers and we got fortunate that he cleared.
And Nelly's still going.
Nelly at age 40, whatever, is still one of the elite hitters in the game. But there are some similarities. I mean, they're both like tremendous athletes that had late starts for different reasons. Dolis being from Cuba, then obviously he goes to Japan for the year before he comes back. Nelly was a volleyball player, didn't play baseball until later, was traded, I think, three times before we even got him. And really both guys kind of failed initially in the big leagues, cleared waivers, went back down, and then now we're getting an additional opportunity. So clearly some similarities there. And just the other similarity is kind of what you touched on, just the joy these guys play the game with. Nelly always had fun, was always kind of a fan favorite. I could see Adolis, certainly if his production stays at a high level, falling into that same category.
Well, he just won American League Player of the Week, too, I'm seeing from Jeff Wilson, so that's absolutely awesome for him. With Leody Taveras, and maybe that'll be another follow-up question, being optioned to sent to the alternate set, I'm not sure how you phrase that, is Garcia, does he profile as a guy that can play center field? I know he's been out there, but how is he defensively doing that?
Yeah, we've got him as a plus center fielder, actually. But we had, in fact, when we picked him up from the Cardinals two winters ago, both our scouts and our analysts had him as one of the better defenders and the outfield defenders in minor leagues, period. So, we were probably even more confident as defense than we were as offense when we picked him up at the time. So he can definitely play out there. And, I mean, you've kind of seen, he won a game with his arm against Baltimore last Sunday. Then he goes out and, pulls back a home run from Otani. But he's comfortable in any of the three outfield spots.
JD, you guys have struggled a little bit at the new ballpark this year, though. Is it still, is it maybe the opponents, or is it still just trying to get used to the surroundings, or it, do you guys have a, an answer for maybe why you've had some slow starts there?
That's a great question. You see why I was asking about that the other day when we were playing Baltimore here last weekend, and I don't really think we have an answer. My general sense is that it's just a, you know, a small sample over time, and it'll kind of level out. You know, I do think that playing here with the roof open on a day game, you know, seems to be a better environment for the pitchers than the hitters in general. But that affects both teams the same way, and so I'm not totally sure why, you know, we've gotten off to a little bit slower start here. Hopefully, we turn it around this week.
One more thing I wanted to ask you about is Kyle Gibson, who threw five starts, a 2.3 ERA is pretty darn good. And you mentioned at the beginning of the segment the expectations and what the goals were for this year. When a guy like that plays so well, when do you start having conversations about, well, do we want to talk to him about more years, or do we want to pick up the phone and see what if we can find more Dane Dunnings?
Yeah, I mean, I think just in general, like, trade conversations to the degree we have them, you know, I don't think we'll pick up until closer to the All-Star break, you know, into July. Every once in a while there's something before them, but doubtful. And with Gibby, you know, we signed him thinking that there was you know, there was more in there, that, you know, kind of on the heels of signing Minor and Lynn, that you know, our guys identified a few things. I give him a ton of credit for what he's done over the winter, and you know, feel like he's just starting to tap into that. So we haven't ruled anything out. I think all the options are still in front of us. You know, he's 33; he'll be 34 next season, and I think with the adjustments he made, he can be a quality pitcher beyond that.
All right, JD, we got the G-men behind the Cowboys picking in the 11th hole this weekend. What direction you think they're going to go? I'm hearing you're looking at defensive ends and potentially wide receivers. You have anything in mind there?
Well, your sources are a lot better than mine. I'm just reading what guys like you are writing. I'm intrigued by both the Alabama wideouts. I'm intrigued by Slater at Northwestern. I like Parsons as well. Who would you guys as Cowboys, kind of part of Cowboys Nation, extended Cowboys Nation, who would you least want the Giants to get?
Keep Jalen Waddle out
of
my
division. We don't want those Alabama receivers. I mean, you nailed it. You're acting like you don't know these guys. You nailed it, right? We don't want Waddle getting there.
Yeah, that would be fun. But as long as their young offensive line actually can develop and protect,
sure,
Jones, we have a chance to get the ball to these guys.
There
you're
go.
Right. If they got Waddle, that would be a pretty fun group of weapons.
JD, two people have texted in to ask if you're doing dishes.
No, I peace around my office and I flip this little, like, mini giveaway bat and I drop it way too often. I think that's what you guys hear.
Well, great stuff. We appreciate your insights and your access, man, and we look forward to catching you up in a couple of weeks. Give him hell out there.
All right, guys. Thanks.
There he goes. John Daniels with you here on your home of the Rangers, 105 through the Fan. Of course, next week we'll have CY, Chris Young, and then JD the week after that. So they're kind of alternating, and it's been a lot of fun to talk with these guys.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, that's one of the things I think that kind of keeps me locked in on the Ranger season, is being able week by week to hear about, you know, which guys are you excited about? What did you think of this? Is this sustainable? Is that not sustainable? It's like, it's just a different kind of Ranger year, but I still love the fact that they're coming on weekly.
Yeah, I think to me too also is they realize where they're at and with their team, but they it's not like it's a beat down when they're talking. They're trying to give you some insight of what they're looking at. I thought your question about the wins and losses was really good. He goes, "Oh man, we want to win all the," you know, he could have done that, but no, it's like, man, no, there's a reason we're kind of working our way through these things. So I appreciate him and Bo CY being on with us all the time.
Appreciate Adelise Garcia as well. You heard that right. AL Player of the Week.
All in.
I mean, after the first couple of weeks, you're like, yeah, it's not sustainable. Another week he adds to it. It got better.
It's Nelly Cruz time. He's 28 and he's about to just start launching 40 home run seasons for the next 12 years.
That would hurry up the rebuild quite a bit if that's going to be the case. All right, here we go. Coming up next, time to go around the NFL here in the nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time to go around the NFL, brought to you by Metter Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. All right, here's Jeff Cavanaugh with First Down.
All right, I'm doing this just for you, Gavin. This is a Gavin Dawson special here.
Good.
Trevor Lawrence is about to get paid.
Oh, I saw this story.
Is he?
Well, yeah, because he's going to get picked number one overall, and that's a lot of money. He's going to get paid.
But how's he going to get paid?
He's also getting paid in crypto.
Look at him go.
Trevor Lawrence has got this deal let me get the name of it here, Blockfolio.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with Blockfolio.
I haven't heard of that one.
Well, they're getting exactly what they want because I'm reading this right now.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure this is exactly what they want. Blockfolio is a place where you can, I guess, buy and trade cryptocurrencies.
All righty.
And so, yeah, Trevor is partnering up with them, and his signing bonus from them has been paid in cryptocurrency into his account.
Oh.
So Trevor Lawrence is now officially a crypto man. I suppose Blockfolio is competing with Coinbase or wherever else you buy and transfer your cryptocurrencies. And I'm now in the crypto game, you know?
I
found this guy on YouTube I watch, and I try to follow that. I try to follow that rabbit hole.
I see that a lot on my timeline.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm fascinated by the work, though.
Yeah.
A pretty good explanation of what's going on, even though Krusty doesn't understand anything he's talking about.
Yeah. Now, as a man who is not a financial advisor, I can't advise anybody on what to get into.
Right.
But I got to tell you, I'm really branching out here. I got a lot of irons in the fire. If some of these get hot, your boy ain't going to be here next week. I'm going to do this draft, and I might not do day three, and I'm just going
to
be out of here.
It's a race to see who gets out of here, huh?
I mean, if I can get enough out of this crypto, it would have to go way up. I'd start with paying off the pool, then the house, and then the retirement. So if this crypto goes up, you will not hear me on the air after 2050.
Well, and maybe you won't see Trevor Lawrence playing football. He's going to get those crypto coins and be like, this is working perfect.
Said he doesn't need it, you know?
Yeah, this story is funny to me because I think it's just all about the PR and the marketing for the Blockfolio, isn't it? I think it's what's ticking Mark Cuban off is it's kind of a non-story because you could exchange your money for crypto and it's
right. You could pay the guy and he could immediately buy whatever crypto he wants. Paying in crypto, there's literally no point.
But it keeps getting picked up by the news media like, oh, we got a story here. Unbelievable. Yeah. Trevor Lawrence is taking a signing bonus in cryptocurrency.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I thought it was his Jacksonville's NFL signing bonus was being crypto.
Okay. Well, you know, on that note, let me add to this first down story from Jeff Kavanaugh real quick because NFL tight end Sean Culkin is saying, I fully believe in Bitcoin. It's the future of finance, and I want to prove that I have real skin in the game, not just trying to make a quick buck. I will be converting my entire 2021 NFL salary to Bitcoin, coming in at about $900,000, probably $475,500 after taxes. But he's committed in a big way. The Mizzou alum currently going for his MBA in finance as well.
I like the stones. Like the stones. No, I can't give advice, though. But
no,
I like the stones.
Mm-hmm.
Fun.
I like to say I'm not a financial advisor. I'm just a newsman.
Yeah, exactly. Okay? Yeah, what's the news saying about crypto these days, though?
And didn't that Seahawk player get like Bitcoin in his
the tackle,
salary and whatnot?
Which tackle?
And he's like the highest paid person in that position right now?
A Seahawks player.
Yeah, it's one of their offensive linemen is taking his salary.
Russell Okun or something like that?
Yes.
Yes.
He's going to have a portion of his contract paid in Bitcoin. A lot of people are doing it. I saw an article in the New York Times that said we're all crypto people now, and it just ticked off all the ways that it's gone mainstream adoption. You know, and it's...
Like, with Russell doing it that way, I guess it would make sense where you're just like, well, I don't want to take the extra step of going to the bank account and transferring things over. Like, just pay me in it. You do the extra legwork.
I was talking with a guy earlier. It was a really interesting conversation. And he said it's likely the future of player contracts could be facilitated on the blockchain itself. Like, you write the code in and you agree to the contract. The owner agrees to the contract, and it just pays you out. The money, like, on payday just arrives. So he was telling me it was a small example of how blockchain could help pro sports teams operate more efficiently, right? Like our payroll department. Love those people, right? But if the computer program could do it, make it less expensive, facilitate everything, and the player doesn't have to go through jumping all those hoops. Like you just said, it's a win-win for everybody. Okay, elsewhere here in around the NFL, a couple of Baker Mayfield storylines here for you. Number one, he's doubling down on his UFO story.
What?
Okay? Remember he said he saw a UFO in the offseason.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Him and the lady down outside of Austin somewhere probably after a couple. Okay.
Yep, so swear to God I saw it. He's talking to the Browns media here in the build-up to the draft. He's saying he and OBJ are working out, getting on the same page quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, that's worked out really well since they've been together.
And he said their contract talks are on the back burner. I think Cleveland's playing this right. I mean, I know Baker fans can get excited about his two short stints of great play.
He had a good year last year. Have another one.
Yeah, yeah. But if I'm Cleveland, I'm not really rushing to get this deal done. I'm kind of thinking, well, if he wants to go team friendly, we could get talked into it. But at this point, I don't want to have buyer's remorse at the end of the 21 season.
Well, because if you negotiate with Baker Mayfield again, the cost is the cost. His agent's going to be like, right, so 41 a year. And they're going to be like, well, hold on now. You're not quite as good as those guys. You're like, right, I play quarterback. So are we talking about the second contract or?
You're going to go draft another 20 guys looking for my replacement?
Right. Good luck. You know, you've been waiting for quite some time here. And he's in a really good spot, too, where they can freaking block.
Yeah.
They have one of the few difference-making running backs in football.
Defense.
The receivers are solid. So he's going to go have another good year, and the price will go up.
Around the NFL, brought to you by Metter Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. Yeah, they should have a really good team. Yeah.
They should.
They might end up regretting that. I mean, you should refuse to pay your franchise quarterback when you're set up to be horrible. Boy, we got dead cap left and right. He's going to post a 78 rating next year. We're going to pick up this dude for $14 million a year. Here's Brian Broaddus with third down.
Yeah, I'm going to tell a story here. I think John Lynch is trying to tell the truth of what's going on in San Francisco.
Is he? What's he
up
to?
He's trying to tell the truth, but I don't know if he's telling the truth. I think the one thing he is telling the truth is that Kyle Shanahan is the general manager, and he's not.
Right.
You know? Because he said ultimately someone's got to be in charge with making the decision in this case. It's both of us. John, I just want to tell you this, that it's really not yours and his decision. It's Kyle's decision.
Yes.
Kyle is the general manager of that football team. Everybody in the national football team knows that. But John wants to let us know that everybody has it in their contract. You could do this. The draft is mine. He says, but I told Kyle from the beginning that he and I are doing this together. And when it comes to quarterbacks, I'd be foolish. I believe we have a head coach who is also our offensive play caller. I will always defer to him. Okay, John, let me just be honest here. Everybody in the league knows that you're not the general manager of this football.
Okay, but you don't have to get mad at him about it and try to punk him.
I'm just saying, though, he's trying
to enjoy that paycheck, John.
He's trying to point it out that, you know, that it's in his contract for the draft and stuff. But, you know, his contract also doesn't say that the final decision, I believe, goes with Kyle Shanahan. So whoever Kyle, and this is what's going to be fascinating about them picking at three. This is going to be who Kyle Shanahan wants.
Yeah.
This is not going to be, I mean, I've got friends in San Francisco that they're like, this is not our call. This is who Kyle wants.
And he'll be known as a genius or as an idiot who can never have personnel again.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. So John Lynch, you could say you're the general manager, but in all actuality, it's Kyle Shanahan and he's got to my contracts. He signed through like 2025, so he's probably not too worried about his situation. But keep an eye on that third spot. I still don't know how they take Mac Jones, but they very well might.
We'll see.
Yeah,
We'll see about all that.
All righty, around the NFL nightly at 4:40 here, brought to you by Metter Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. Coming up next, we're talking Mavs because it is Mavs game night. It's a big one. What to watch for as they visit the Kings is next in the Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.